Welcome to Money Moves. This is a program that helps you take control of your financial life with no jargon and no judgment. I am your host, Jill Schlesinger. Note that my co-host, Mark Talercio, is not here. Why? He has the temerity to be on vacation this week. This is 4th of July week, and I couldn't help him going off to the beach somewhere at some undisclosed location. I only hope that by having him do this right now, this preserves the ability for me to hold it over his head in the future. I think you guys can all get behind that. Now, obviously, with me alone, you're really getting the best of the best. No, I'm just kidding. I miss Mark. But I want everybody out there to know that part of this program is based on what you think is important to you. And if you've got a financial question, if you've got something that's bubbling in your mind, if you're thinking about, hey, can I afford to buy this house? Or what is it that this thing, this headline means to me? We want to hear from you. All you need to do is go to the website, jillonmoney.com. You click the contact us button. You write us a note. All of this is in service of you and your needs. So whatever is going on, what is important to you, it's important to us. And so today, one of the things that I wanted to do was talk about something that was interesting to me and producer Isaac. So here's a story today that I think is fascinating. It's about so-called dopamine sites. Do you guys know that when you sometimes spend money, sometimes when you trade a stock, sometimes when you go into a casino, you get a little dopamine hit? You know that feeling. It's like, oh, this feels so good. I love it. And if you're the kind of person who hates shopping, it won't happen to you by shopping. I get it. But if you are the kind of person who kind of loves that feeling of spending a dollar, you know, retail therapy, you've had a rotten day, you're like, I just want to go do something. Whatever it is, that little jolt of energy that you get can really mean something. And so now there is an estimated 13 million people who do suffer from serious, what they call compulsive buying. It's often just a way to cope with life being really hard. And I get that. And you might even be the kind of person who's in debt and you find yourself doing that. And you can't get out of that cycle. I get how hard that is. All these cycles are hard. These are the people who trade all the time, who gamble all the time, and you can't help yourself. But the thing that's fascinating to me is that the gamification of everything from shopping to investing to making predictions, it is all kind of centered on the same dopamine hit. It's the same way you walk into a casino. If you've never walked into a casino, it's just this rush that you feel of like, I'm in a world unto myself. And do you know that casino operators actually were able to work with behavioral economists and neurologists to find out what lights up in your brain and brings you back to the casino, back to the table? This exact process was replicated with online shopping, with investing, and we are seeing this now throughout the economy. That it's wild that neurologists have been part of the process of hooking you into a system that keeps you scrolling, doing, staying on a site. It is very hard to resist this. It really is. You're not a weak person for not being able to resist it. You are a human being. And it may seem unfair. I feel like the genie's out of that bottle, so we can't really fight it. What you can do is limit yourself by making sure, for example, like let's say it's investing and you want to have a fun money account. One way to limit any potential problem is to say, well, you know what? I'm only going to do this at a certain time during the day. I'm not going to do this while I'm at work. Same thing with online shopping. You might say, hey, you know what? I will do this once a week. I will do this, but I will not only do it at a certain period of time. What I really think is important is that if you feel this urgency to keep checking, to keep trading, to keep buying, that is probably a moment where you need to sort of sit with yourself and say, how can I put the guardrails up? So right now in South Korea, there has been a rise of what is called dopamine sites. And these simulate the experience of shopping without actually spending money. And these sites provide a buffer when someone wants to impulsively snack or spend money or gamble or trade. So should you get into this? Like, I think if this were something that was available in your, like on your phone, in your world, it kind of would be a fascinating experiment to see, hey, what would it feel like to not actually spend the money, but have the process of spending money, the replicate the feeling of spending money without actually spending the money. I often think that this would be a great way to even think about your investing and trading. Instead of saying, oh, what would it be for me to plunk down money I can't really afford to spend or even to invest? What would that feel like? What would it feel like to do that but not do it? Would that satisfy the need? Would it protect you? I'm kind of all in on this. I think this would be a really interesting idea, and it would certainly be an amazing way for behavioral economists to say, hey, this is a process by which we can short circuit that emotional and almost physical need with something that won't do any damage to you. So I'm all in. Dopamine science, bring them on. Okay, right now we are going to take a question from Danielle. What's going on? How can we help you out?
So my husband and I have been pretty good planners, mainly boring retirement place index fund and saving a little bit for kids' college. But then life decided not to follow our plan. So our middle child's college expenses are going to be higher than what we have saved. She starts in the fall. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of looking to see if we can safely dial back on retirement savings to cash flow that without compromising the retirement goals.
Okay, this is a very common situation. Now, did your kid plan? Did you think the kid was going to go to public school and they go to private school? Like, what's happened here?
So she's public, but out of state. So we had saved her.
Oh, come on. What? You can't. What happened? That is crazy.
I know.
How did you let that happen?
It's the degree program that she wants. So it's not entirely unreasonable, but yes.
Mm. All right. How much is it going to cost to get this kid through public university, but out of state?
$120 for the 4 years.
Oh, for all 4 years?
For all 4 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And how much money had you saved already? And I presume you did this in a 529 plan. Is that
correct?
Right?
It's a 529 okay. In a combo with an UTMA. So 80,000 is what we have right now.
That's pretty good. That's not so terrible. Do you have 529 plans for the other two kids?
I do. So the oldest is in state. His plan should cover what he has remaining. But now I'm getting nerves about the youngest maybe doing the same. And maybe I need a plan for that a little bit too.
This is very common. Okay. And we get this question often. And, you know, listen, you are this sandwich generation. I mean, you basically are sandwiched between an older generation. You might even have to take care of your own parents if they're still alive. You have younger kids. You're trying to get them through school. And then the pressure builds up. Something has to give. How much have you saved overall in your retirement? Maybe it's okay to hold back. It may not be the biggest problem in the world.
Yeah, so I feel like we have a good bit. It's all traditional. Between my husband and I, we have about $2 million in traditional retirement.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. We have a small amount of Roth in those same plans at $40,000.
How's your cash flow right now? Like, given everything, three kids, which feels like a ton of like cash flow pressure, and also obviously living your lives and having a mortgage, like how does it feel right now?
So we're comfortable. And that's how we opened the brokerage account. A few different career shifts. So we weren't actually eligible to contribute to my husband's retirement 401k for a while. So we started putting that money into brokerage. But we're doing well. I think we have flow. But now we need to look at, should this be going towards retirement again?
Ever feel like you need one app for sales, another for inventory, another for accounting, and the list never ends? Managing a business shouldn't feel like a full-time job just to keep your software in check. That's why Odoo exists. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Everything works together seamlessly so your team can focus on what really matters, growing your business and serving your customers. Beyond simplifying your workflow, Odoo also saves you money. Instead of paying for multiple expensive platforms, you get one system for a fraction of the cost. And whether you're just starting out or managing a large company, Odoo scales with you. It's easy to use and fully customizable. It streamlines every process, giving you more time and freedom to focus on the parts of your business that matter most. Thousands of businesses have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com. How old are you guys? About
46.
Okay, so you're in your 40s. This is like you're coming to these big earning years. The real pressure here is that the kids' contributions, kids, college, all of that, I get it. So are you putting in the maximum into your retirement plans right now? What's the story?
So it's been about a year with no input. So I changed careers. Yeah, and I stopped doing that to save up cash. But now we're ready to start again. And it's kind of now we have this other question.
So. Okay. Do you have a match available for you at work?
Neither of us do.
No match. Mm-hmm. Wow. If you had to look at your cash flow right now, and I see that you put this, like, you know, you made a really smart choice, which is, hey, we don't have access to a retirement plan. Let's put some money into the brokerage account. Mm-hmm. But what do you think you have available beyond this money that you're going to need for this kid, this, you know, obviously 10 grand a year? Do you think that 10 grand is just going to get sucked out for college and there'll be nothing left? Or do you think you could squeeze a little bit out?
Yeah, we could save more. I would say probably 30,000 between the two.
And do you feel like anxious around this third child because the third child's going to see my sibling went to this out of state public school. Maybe I could be able to do that. I mean, I guess there's a question about whether or not because you have so much money already saved for retirement, maybe what you could consider is this. This is what I think. Like the reality being, maybe if you have $30,000 of excess cash flow, 10 is going to go to the middle child. If you'd like, maybe what you do is you put 10 into brokerage and then 10 into retirement and see how that rolls. If the youngest ends up not needing extra money, it's sitting in your brokerage account. That's fine. There's no problem with that, right? I would say, you know, I would normally just say, oh, put it in the 529 plan because it's so much more tax efficient. But I think this gives you more options. You said you had career shift. So tell us a little bit more about that. What was that career shift about? And did you take a different tact in order to make more money? Like what was the thinking behind it?
So I actually took a big pay cut. I left a job just from burnout and went and opened my own business. So I'm self-employed now. I'm working part-time. And then unexpectedly, my husband had a career shift offer. So we both shifted.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he was not able to do any retirement funding for 6 months. So now we're just hitting that point and kind of revisiting that. But part of the shift is, you know, I took this pay cut and I'm working part-time. I guess I can work more if I have to fund this college kid, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is when you take a pay cut like that, especially if it's because of burnout, maybe this is like the smartest thing you could have ever done for yourself. Because if you just kept working and you're really fried and now you're like 52 and you're like, I can't do this anymore. But now you've actually taken a pay cut mid-career. In a way, this might build better cash for you in the future. In other words, if you're working part-time, and I think this is something that I hear about all the time, people who are mid-career and they're like, I hate being a lawyer, or I hate being this, or I don't want to be this kind of doctor anymore. And they'll say, I am going to find a way that I could work longer, but make less. And also, I imagine for you, if you're burnt out, working for yourself, you have much more control over your schedule and your life.
Yeah, that is exactly how the scenario was. If I had stayed in my old job, my plan was how many more years do I have to white knuckle through this until I can just leave this career entirely? And then kind of found a way to say, can I do it a different way? And I felt like I had 5 years left in me and I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
But now the way I'm working, I could do this for a long, long time. So
I think this is amazing. I kind of will find this a lot. I think it's like a really smart way to be able to build more longevity and also not to be miserable. I mean, look, there are a lot of jobs out there and there are a lot of people who will white knuckle it through.
they'll just be like, I don't care. I want to like get there as fast as I can and then I'm done. I think the danger in that and why I think your strategy is much more interesting is that it makes your time while you're actually in this job that is soul crushing, it kind of makes that unbearable. And like, what is this life about? But other than, hey, you're going to still be able to educate your kids. You're still going to be able to retire. You're going to have some value and worth in what you do. I think this is amazing. I think it's a great lesson for a lot of people, especially if you're in your 20s or 30s and you already hate the career you're in. It might not be so bad to take a breath, to take a step to the left, a step to the right, maybe even take a pay cut to get yourself into a better position for succeeding in the future. And guess what, gang? Success is not dollars and cents. Look at Danielle. Success can mean control over your schedule, control over your life, being there more for your kids, maybe feeling like you have that ability to ramp it up when you feel like it, maybe pull back when you don't. So I'm applauding you. You have done an amazing job. You saved a ton of money in retirement. I'm completely on board with you saying we're not going to max out retirement. We're going to take some money and help pay for the cash flow of the kid. We're going to take some money, put it in the brokerage account. So 10, 10, 10. I think that's how you divvy it up. You'll have more information. How old's the youngest?
He's a sophomore in high school.
Okay. So like in 2 years, you're going to know the deal, right?
Right. Right.
I would normally say, like for everyone else who's watching this or listening to this, to be clear, the reason why Danielle and her husband can take a break from funding retirement is that they've already done all this saving. And I imagine, Danielle, you started at a young age to get $2 million by the time you're in your 40s. I'm sure there's some people who are like, what's Danielle's problem? She has so much money.
Right.
Okay, that is how the power of compounding works. So Danielle, when did you guys start saving for retirement?
I mean, my husband probably at 23 when he started working, and then I was 28 when I started working. So, yeah.
Danielle, I think you are in great shape. I think taking a break from fully funding retirement is completely normal for many people who are going to be juggling different priorities. Of course, if I go back in time, I wish your kid just would go to in-state school, but so be it. And you can afford it, thank goodness. And so I also presume that for you, it was important to put money into those 529 plans because you didn't want the kids graduating with debt, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're in great shape. I think you should do it. I think you should not worry about it. Permission granted. Go ahead, pay for that school, get that kid a degree, and hopefully all three of them end up launching without you having to put more money into their education and that they get jobs that they're happy with. And for you guys, as soon as you get a little bit more cash flow, then you can go on and resume the contribution level that will give you more options as you get into your 50s and your 60s. So I think well done. I'm all on board with this. Good for you. And thank you so much for joining us. Okay. Now, I know a lot of you jillionaires, you're shy. I get that. It's okay. We love to read mail. And so if you have a question, go to jillonmoney.com, click the contact us button, write us a note, and we might read it on the air. Sean from Connecticut asks, I have memberships in Experian, TransUnion, and LifeLock. I'd love to get rid of some of these expenses, but I'm afraid that as soon as I do, I will be hit with an identity theft. Would you recommend keeping all three or downsizing to one? Well, okay. Identity theft is just everywhere, right? And so what do these memberships do? It's like kind of keeps an eye on your credit and flags any weird situation in your credit file. I don't think you need all three. You can pick one. And oftentimes you'll pick one because you were actually a victim of identity theft, one of these mass big data breaches. And they'll give you like, oh, we'll give you TransUnion for a year or something. And then you extend it. But you know a better way to keep track of what's going on in your credit file? It's to freeze your file. Now, again, there are these three big reporting agencies. They report up to FICO, which is the big scoring company. And what you can do is you can lock your credit file by freezing your credit with each of these big three, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And you know what happens? If your name, if your social, if any of your information gets out and someone tries to open up credit in your name, they won't be able to. Your account is frozen. There's a catch. The catch is it's free, but your credit is frozen for you too. So if you had to go out and let's say buy a car and you needed a loan, you'd have to unfreeze your credit before you could get that loan. That's not that big a deal. You can freeze, unfreeze, freeze, unfreeze. You can do whatever you want as many times as you want. But you know what's great about this? It's one of those little life hacks that I think is amazing, because if your credit is frozen and some salesperson's like, oh, if you open up a Victoria's Secret credit card today, you'll get 10% off. Don't do that. Every time you open up credit, it actually damages your score. And so as a result, I think freezing credit can also have this lovely secondary effect. It locks your file to the criminals, but also to you. So you won't actually open up credit in your own name and potentially damage your credit rating. Okay, that's a wrap for today. We want to thank everybody who makes this show happen, and that includes Alan Pang, Justin Sherman, Isaac Grafstein, Emma Osman, and of course, the Overlord in Chief. You know who you are. If you've got a financial question, if something is going on, if you are just worried and you need some assistance, get in touch with us. Go to jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, write us a note, upload a video, come on the air with us. It's so much fun. I promise we'll make it very easy for you. We thank you so much for watching. Please follow, subscribe, promote, do everything that you know how to do to help us spread the word. We'll talk to you next time.
Wolf of Wall Street movie doesn't even accurately portray the level of insanity that occurred.
A new Paramount Plus documentary.
This is a company built on fraud.
If it feels too good to be true, it probably is.
The outrageous story of Jordan Belfort.
People lost money. People got hurt.
Even Hollywood couldn't tell.
For a lot of people, the American dream turned into the American nightmare.
The real Wolf of Wall Street, now streaming on Paramount Plus.